welcome to the Light for Living broadcast from the First Baptist Church in Brayton. Thanks for listening to our service today.
Thank you. Teach us, Lord, no tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. I need thee every hour. Stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. I need thee every hour. Enjoy your pain. Come quickly and abide, or life is vain. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. I need thee every hour, most holy one. Oh, make me thine indeed, thou blessed Son. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee.
I would invite you to open up your copy of the Word of God with me this morning to the New Testament book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. We're going to be looking this morning at verses 12 and down through verse 14. 2 weeks ago on Sunday morning, so if you think back, that was Christmas Eve. We looked at Christmas through the eyes of a man, from seeing Joseph's perspective on Christmas from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Joseph, as you know, was a carpenter. He was a stonemason. He was a citizen of Nazareth. He was a poor man. He was a descendant of the line of David. Yet Joseph was the one that God intended, superintended, to be the father, the earthly father of Jesus, and the responsibility that would follow with that. We looked at three thoughts about Christmas through the eyes of Joseph. Number one, we saw Joseph's reaction in verse 19. We saw that he wanted to cover Mary's shame, and also that he, Scripture says, being a just man, a righteous man, wanted to put her away privately to dissolve their betrothal process in a quiet fashion rather than to publicly humiliate her, as was usually the custom. Joseph's response, there were five responses from Joseph in his life that men can model when we looked at those as well. To be thoughtful, to become obedient, to become courageous, and to be respectful, and last, to become spiritual. And number three, we stated that Joseph needed redemption. When Joseph had his first encounter with the angel, he was told to give the name to the baby, Jesus, which means Savior. Jesus came to save mankind from their sin, and the only way that God could do that was by sending Jesus to this earth, which is where we bring in the other name, Emmanuel, which means God with us. We closed our time with a challenge 2 weeks ago. May God help us to remember that He does not want us to drop the ball on our families, but to provide loving leadership for our spouses and children. You should be in Philippians chapter 3. Now, would you look with me at verses 12 and down to verse 14? I'm going to begin reading this morning in verse 12 and would invite you to stand in honor of the Word of God as we read that this morning. Philippians chapter 3, I'm going to begin in verse 12. You follow along in your copy of God's Word as I read. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You may be seated. Philippians is an interesting book. Written by the Apostle Paul to the church at Philippi while he was in prison. And yet, Philippians is probably better known to some of you as one of the prison epistles. But what always strikes me as interesting about the book of Philippians, when you study it, is that the writer Paul is writing to encourage people in Philippi to have joy. And he's doing that as a man of God sitting in a jail cell, in a prison cell. Stop and think about this for just a moment. When was the last time that you were ever joyful at the thought of sitting in prison and writing a letter to try to encourage someone? But that's exactly what Paul does in Philippians. All throughout the book, the theme of the entire book is joy. The entire book. Not happiness, but true joy. And the idea of rejoicing is all throughout the book of Philippians. Let me pause this morning. I want to ask you a question before we jump into this passage and go any further in this message. How many of you want 2018 to be a year of joy and spiritual growth? Well, duh. All of us do. But you know what? It actively takes our doing something for that to happen. You see, true joy is not something that we have in and of ourselves. Joy comes from God. It's only God that can give us joy. He is the giver of joy. We can be happy. We can be happy about things, but true joy that lasts is something that only God can give us. And to have a year, a new year to start off with, and to have a year that starts, we're 7 days into this already, but to have a new year that starts and it's a joy-filled year, it's a joy that's full of spiritual growth, it's going to take some determination on your part. If you want to find more joy, more purpose, and ultimately please God to a greater extent in this new year that He has given to you, then you need to do exactly what I'm going to share with you in the time that we have left this morning. With that, let's direct our attention to God and ask Him to bless our time in His Word. Father, would You quiet our hearts before You this morning? Father, that as we open up the Word of God in the book of Philippians this morning, and as we think about this new year, 2018, that we have just begun, Father, our desire in this year is to be to have it be a year full of joy. Not joy because of circumstances, but joy because we know our God. We know that our God loves us, that He watches out for us. And Father, that joy and knowing that we have a God that knows each and every aspect of our lives, that has everything already planned out for this year, the good things, the bad things, that we can trust that to Him. That we can find joy in the midst of trials, in the midst of difficulties. We can find joy in the times when there is great rejoicing as well. But Father, also that in this coming year, it would be a year where we grow spiritually. Marked spiritual growth. Father, use me this morning as I bring forth your word. Be with the message that you've laid upon my heart. Father, help me to be faithful and effective in communicating. And may the word of God stick with us not only today, but for the rest of this year. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning I've entitled this particular sermon, New Goals for a New Year. A son decided to call home to check on his parents on New Year's Day. His dad answered the phone, so he decided to ask him a question. The son said, "Dad, what's your New Year's resolution?" There was a pause, and then the father responded, "My New Year's resolution is to treat your mom like a princess all year long." Later, the son in the conversation was, the phone was handed to the mother. And he said, "Mom, what is your New Year's resolution?" To which she replied, "My New Year's resolution is to make sure that your father keeps his." And we laugh at that. You know, I think one of the reasons why we as believers in Jesus Christ fall so short often of the goals that we set for ourselves in the new year when it comes to growing in our walk with Christ is because we have no one there to help keep us accountable. God gave us brothers and sisters in Christ. He gave us a church. He gave us a pastor. He gave us deacons. He gave us friends for a reason. Christian life, as someone told me a long time ago, Christian life is never an island. You're never an island alone spiritually. God put people around you to help you grow. And if you're going to accomplish something for God and grow spiritually in 2018, can I tell you, it's going to take everyone around you to help you. And you have to be willing to let others help you. We're 7 days into this new year. This is the first Sunday of the new year. And my guess is that some of you, the resolutions that you set on New Year's Eve or New Year's Day, some of you have already broken those resolutions. And I'm not going to ask this morning. And some of you are probably bummed out about that. You probably started off the new year like some people do. I'm going to read my Bible every day. Let me ask you, we're 7 days into the new year. How many days did you read your Bible? And how many of you are bummed because you've already broken a New Year's resolution? We enter a new year and there's that sense of excitement for some. For others, perhaps it's maybe not quite as excitement because there's things that carry over from the previous year. Some of you, perhaps you're still battling a sinful struggle from 2017. And whatever the case may be for you, I believe that most of us would love to know how we can go the right direction in the new year. How this year could not just be simply another repeat of last year. I don't want to repeat last year, do you? But a year that you can look back on December 31st, 2018, you can look back on the entire year and you can see and you can say, God helped me grow spiritually. A year of moving forward, not backward, or simply just standing still. And perhaps over these past 2 weeks, you've wished someone a happy new year. But some of us wonder if that's even a possibility to be happy in a new year. Would you like to know what would make 18 really great? I want to share with you this morning what the Apostle Paul has to say about having not just happiness, but but joy, true joy. And not just for a day or a month or even for 2018, but having true joy, true marked spiritual growth that'll last your entire life. I want to share with you in the time that we have this morning four goals for a new year. Four goals for a new year. The first one is this. And something else new. It's behind me for your advantage. But the first one of those goals is this. Find some dissatisfaction. Find some dissatisfaction. You ever become dissatisfied with things? I stopped on our way back from visiting my parents. We stopped at McDonald's. And I walked into McDonald's and I ordered my food and I stood there waiting for them to put it all together. And a lady came up in front of me. And she had her sandwich in the little box. And she walked up to the counter and said to the gentleman standing behind it, "This is as good as you can get for a sandwich." And she set the sandwich down. She says, "You can either fix it or I'll go eat somewhere else." Absolutely, totally dissatisfied. Can I ask you a question? How many of you are satisfied this morning? All of you have a car. All of you have, hopefully, cruise control. Maybe you don't. First car I ever had didn't have cruise control. My parents did. Mine didn't. And everywhere I went, it was so nice when I drive my parents' car to hit that cruise control button and just coast. You didn't have to use the brake. You didn't have to use the gas. It would just take care of itself. Then I get back in my car. Got to use the gas. Got to use the brake. Have to work. Some of us have entered this new year with a spiritual cruise control already set. You're coasting. Yeah, 2018, I'm just going to glide through. I'll think about it in June, doing something maybe, growing spiritually. I just want to coast into this new year. I don't want to do anything big. I just want to simply just keep going. How many of you really relax as you drive? You ever rode with people that just don't relax when they drive? You know what I mean? They sit there and they look like they have a death grip on the steering wheel. And it's probably because they don't want to die, they don't want to die like the screaming passengers in the back of the car. They want to die like Grandpa at the wheel asleep. For a church to go backward, it doesn't require for the people of that church to go backward. All it requires for a church to go backward spiritually, to begin to stop doing what God wants them to do, is to stand still and do nothing. How many of you have a comfort zone in your spiritual life? We all know what it is. There's something that we don't want to do, and that is where we stop. And we feel comfortable. And I'm not talking about contentment here. Materialism, godliness with contentment is great gain. I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about is spiritually, don't ever be contented. Some of you right now are content with where you're at spiritually. Shame on you. Because last time I checked, we grow spiritually every day until the day that we die. And the moment that we quit striving to grow, we stop growing altogether. Every day, don't be content with where you're at. The moment you say, "I've arrived spiritually," you begin to slide backward. Here's the attitude that all of us should have as we think back to last year. Feel free to disagree with me. But this is the attitude that all of us should have. However much I read my Bible in the last year, it was not enough. However much I prayed was not enough. However much I gave, God still deserves more. However much I served of my time, God deserves more. However much worship I gave, God deserves more praise. The hymn writer penned these words, I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. And he wrote, lower ground. No, he said, higher ground. I'm moving forward. I'm striving for the next thing that God would have for me. In 2018, perhaps God wants you to do something new, to serve Him somewhere outside of your comfort zone. Don't be satisfied to do the same thing that you did last year. We're really good at doing the same thing over and over and over and over again, aren't we? But how many of us are good at doing something new? We're scared to do that. For some of us, singing in the choir would be a scare. For some of us, offering to help serve in nursery with little kids, that's a scare. For some of us, going to someone's door and inviting them to come to church, that would be a scary thing. For some of us, helping in children's ministry or helping with teens, that scares us to death. What if they ask a question I don't know? For some of us, attendance. One more Sunday. I don't know if I can do that. Probably the one that all of us would agree with is giving. Often why we never move forward for God is because we become self-satisfied. We begin to compare ourselves to others around us who are not making good spiritual progress. We don't strive to be the best that God desires. We just want to be ahead of everyone else. Rather than comparing ourselves to Christ and His standard, we begin to compare ourselves to someone we feel is inferior to us in a spiritual sense. And when we begin to compare ourselves to others, it's not only not wise, but oftentimes it leads us to pride. We develop a false sense of where we're at spiritually when we begin to compare ourselves with anyone else but the Savior. Look at Philippians 3:13. He says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I will tell you something. Your pastor has not arrived spiritually yet. And if you were honest before God today, you would say, I have not arrived there either. You haven't arrived. You're not there yet. There's no cruise control. Yesterday I had the privilege of doing a funeral service. And in the middle of that funeral service, I shared a story. And it's funny, for those of you that knew the gentleman, wherever he would drive his truck, it was pedal to the metal. But you know what? That's the way we ought to be spiritually. We got the pedal all the way to the floor, and we're not about ready to let it up. I do not count myself to have apprehended. The word apprehend that he's talking about there, it means to lay hold of something. It's the idea of, and we would probably better understand it today, of that of a policeman seeking to apprehend somebody who is running from the law. They seize that person, they put them in cuffs. That's what the word apprehend means. And if we're not careful, what happens with us is we allow ourselves to get to the point of complacency. We get beat down with the woes of life, the failures of yesterday. We become Christian Eeyores. Oh, bother. Woe is me. How many Christians have you met like that? They get beat down with the things of life. And folks, who wants to be a Christian Eeyore? That doesn't advertise joy in Christ, does it? Woe is me. One Sunday morning, a pastor pounded the pulpit and said, ignorance and complacency, that's our problem. You, sir, right there on the front row, do you even know the difference between ignorance and complacency? To which the man replied, I don't know and I don't care. Folks, we need to find some dissatisfaction with where we finished last year as compared to where we want to go this year. If you made every single goal that you set last year spiritually, good for you, but you ought to be dissatisfied with that. A second goal I want to share with you, find some devotion. Find some devotion. Look at the rest of verse 13. He says this, but this one thing I do. We're good at multitasking, aren't we? We can do 5 things at one time. We can talk on the phone, we can eat, we can drive, and we can yell at our kids in the back seat and never wreck anything. We can multitask. We're good at that. But you know what? There better be one thing that we are very, very good at. Paul says this. Notice the text of Scripture. But this one thing I do. To the rich, self-righteous young ruler, Jesus said this, one thing thou lackest. To busy Martha working in the kitchen, criticizing her sister Mary, who sat at the feet of Jesus, Jesus said, one thing is needful for you. Psalm 27 and verse 4, David says this, one thing I have desired of the Lord. And Paul says this, this one thing I do. It's a statement of devotion. Christianity, it's not a sideshow. Paul's Christianity wasn't a sideshow. It wasn't a compartment of his life. His relationship with God wasn't a back closet or one room of the house, so to speak. His relationship with God was the entire house, and everything else that fit was in there as well. Maybe I can illustrate it this way. A wheel has many spokes, doesn't it? So do our lives. You have work life, you have school life, you have hobbies, you have family life, you have church life. The spokes have nothing to do with each other. Your church life doesn't show up at work, on the basketball court. To view your family life at home, you'd never even dream that some had a church life. Can I tell you, Jesus doesn't want to be one more spoke on the wheel. What Jesus ought to be is the hub of the wheel out of which everything else in our life comes. Christianity shouldn't be a compartment of our life. It should be our life. I shouldn't just go to church. I should live for church. I should be excited to worship God, not just at church, but everywhere. And every chance I get, it ought to affect everything. I cannot be content with last year's spiritual growth. You can't. I cannot be content with last year's spiritual growth. But under that second goal, if I need to find some devotion, then I need to do something else. Perhaps we need to trade some of our commitments to the world for commitment to Christ. It's real easy in our modern day and age to trade commitments or loyalties to different things. We read something in the paper about a pop company, and all of a sudden we switch and we drink something else. We read about this store advertising this, and so we quit shopping there and we go somewhere else. The cable company raises your bill, and so you switch and you go to a different one. A cell phone provider offers you a new plan, and you switch. You switch your commitments. Can I tell you, perhaps you need to switch some of the commitments you made to the world for commitment to Christ, so you can be more committed to Him. We're too busy these days. It's McDonald's every Monday, right? It's taco every Tuesday. It's workout Wednesday, it's t-ball Thursday, it's fishing Friday, it's super shopping Saturday, and the week's plan. It's no wonder we're sleeping on Sunday. It's okay to say no. When I die, I want to be known for being less devoted to the world and more devoted to Christ. Are there commitments that I have to fulfill? Yes. But are there commitments that I choose to fulfill that I could say no to? And the answer is yes. Only one life will soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last. When I was a child, I laughed and wept, and time crept. When I was a youth, I dreamed and talked, and time walked. When I became a full-grown man, time ran. When I grew older still, or when I older I grew, time flew. Soon I will be traveling on, and time will be gone. The difference between an amateur and a professional is pretty big. I would consider myself to be an amateur fisherman. I do it here and there when I get a chance. I do it for fun. I don't get frustrated. I don't spend thousands of dollars dedicating all of this stuff to a hobby. I'm an amateur. And an amateur does things from time to time. He does it in spurts whenever he gets a chance. But a professional, he does it full time. It's his life's work. I have a friend of mine that is a guide, a professional fishing guide. That is his life. That's what he does. He knows it all the time. And when I go with him, he's the professional, I'm the amateur. I don't try to tell him what to do. But I wonder, if you rated your Christian life right now, would you be an amateur or a professional? Here's the thing, you will never be effective for the Lord by being an amateur in church attendance. You will never be effective for the Lord if you serve Him as an amateur in spurts. If you beg to differ with me, try this experiment at home. Try telling your spouse that you'll be faithful to them in spurts and let me know how that goes. And then I would remind you, church, you are the bride of Christ. Be faithful to Jesus Christ. All of us have that obligation. The Sunday morning Christian will go backward in their spiritual life week after week after week, and sadly, they never realize it. Oh, I missed a service here. I missed a service there. I didn't serve here. I could have served there. I didn't give here. I didn't. And they don't realize it. They begin to go backwards spiritually. They begin to pray in spurts. They begin to read their Bible in spurts. They give in spurts. Don't let that be us. 2018, don't let that be us. Let's become a church of devotion with a professional mindset. 24/7, this is a full-time job. As Paul said, this is the one thing I do. I want to be devoted to God above all else. Dwight L. Moody, preacher, promoter, evangelist, who did YMCA work and many other irons in the fire in his life. He preached one Sunday night and said, go home and think about getting saved for a week, and then come back and we'll lead you to Christ. Probably one of the saddest messages D.L. Moody ever preached, because the following week was the great Chicago fire that killed thousands that had heard him preach the week before. Moody decided never to preach without giving an invitation again, and that he needed to devote himself to evangelism only. And folks, because of that, that man shook two continents for God. But you know what? It was devotion to God. I need to share with you a third goal. Find His satisfaction. Find devotion. Find some direction. Look at verse 14. Look at verse 14. I'm sorry, verse 13. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Forgetting those things which are behind. It's hard to forget things, isn't it? No, it's hard to remember things. Forgetting those things which are behind. Perhaps some of you know an Olympic runner from the 1912 Olympics by the name of Jim Thorpe. There's a picture of Jim Thorpe in the 1912 Olympic Games that still stuns people today. Jim was an American Indian from Oklahoma who represented the United States in track and field. On the morning of his competitions, his shoes were stolen. Jim was unable to compete, according to the officials, unless he had shoes. Luckily, Jim ended up finding two shoes in a nearby garbage can. However, neither of the shoes were the same size. One shoe was too big and the other a little bit small. Jim had to wear an extra sock in the one just to make it fit manageably, while the other foot was crammed into another shoe. But wearing those two mismatched shoes, he won two gold medals that day. And that is a perfect reminder that you don't have to resign to the excuses that have held you back. Whatever was holding you back in 2017, let it go. The things that you allow to drag you down, let them go. Paul said this, "I have run my race, and I have run it well. I have given it my all." But you know what? Paul wasn't looking back. He was looking forward. Notice the text of Scripture. "Forgetting those things which are behind, I reach forward to the things that are ahead." I'm not striving. I'm not looking at who I was last year, last month, last week. It's not that which God is concerned about. Unless you don't know Him as your Savior, then you better be concerned. But if you know Christ is your Savior, what's in the past is past. It's time to look forward. God is more concerned about who you are today than who you were yesterday. What are you doing for Him today? What He doesn't necessarily wonder what you did yesterday. What are you striving towards? Forget the things that are behind. Did you know that the month of January got its name from Caesar, who named the month for the Roman god Janus, who was a two-faced god? One face was looking forward, the other was looking back. In 2018, there is no looking back. The past is past. Scripture says, "No man having put his hand to the plow looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." Folks, if you're looking back and you're looking at sin and saying, "I don't think God wants to have anything to do with me," let it go. Don't look back at past sin. God forgives it, He forgets it, and He cleanses it. Amen? 1 John 1:9. Let it go because God promises to get rid of it. It's not God who brings sin to mind, it's Satan. He wants to stop you. He wants to remind you of those past sins. When you think of it, thank God for forgiving you the first time. John R. Rice said this, "No matter what you did in the past, your future is spotless." Not looking back at past failures. How many New Year's resolutions go in one year and out the other? Last year's resolutions, weight loss, exercise. You only fail when you stop trying. Perhaps the reason why spiritually you're having trouble is because you stop trying. You stop trying to pray. You stop trying to read your Bible. Scripture says, "A just man falleth seven times and riseth up again." You're going to make mistakes. You're going to have a hard time living for God. That's just part of the Christian life.
We hope you enjoyed the Light for Living broadcast from the First Baptist Church in Brayton. If you'd like to join us for our Sunday services, we have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. for all ages, morning worship at 10:30 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. You can also join us Wednesday evenings for prayer and Bible study at 7 p.m.